This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Ian DeEubank on the 10th of January, 2025, with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller coming up today on the news. HAT Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them to learn more at ffbt.com and your local branch. In the news, an Indiana Senate bill that would impact the state's ag department and the lieutenant governor's oversight of that agency. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has snow in the Indiana farm forecast for today, clearing skies tomorrow, and the grains and oil seeds mixed in choppy Thursday trade before today's USDA reports. We'll have analysis with Mike Silver. It's all part of the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Response to a bill that could strip the lieutenant governor from overseeing ISDA. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, here in Indiana, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture is led by the lieutenant governor. Well, beginning Monday, the new lieutenant governor will be Micah Beckwith. However, there's a bill that's been introduced in the Indiana Senate that would not only strengthen ISDA, but it would also remove the lieutenant governor from overseeing the department. First, Hoosier Ag Today spoke with State Senator Susan Glick, who co-authored that bill with State Senator James Buck.
I think there is a lack of understanding. People are seeing this as a power grab, taking it away. It is an elevation of the status of agriculture in the state of Indiana. That's all we're trying to do.
The bill would make ISDA an executive agency under the governor with its own secretary. Even though the bill specifically says the lieutenant governor would no longer serve as Secretary of Agriculture, Glick says that Lieutenant Governor-elect Beckwith would still be involved with ISDA.
He would still be in charge under our bill of the Office of Community and Rural Affairs. He'd be helping with a lot of those grants and aids throughout the state of Indiana and some of the rural areas, which we want to see continue and grow, and he was very much in favor of that.
In fact, Glick told Hoosier Ag Today that the bill has Beckwith's support.
We talked with the Lieutenant Governor prior to dropping the bill. It's Senator Buck and I worked on this bill. We've been approached by a number of ag groups, such as the Farm Bureau and others. It's been a part of the policy of the Farm Bureau for a number of years, legislative request to elevate the status of the Department of Agriculture.
But when Hoosier Ag Today spoke with Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith about the bill, he says he never gave his approval. You'll hear Beckwith's response coming up.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 36 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, January 14th to the 16th. Plan to attend this huge three-day event featuring the area's largest variety of farm equipment and technology. You could win the grand prize, a Toro MyRide zero-turn lawnmower, courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
The Fort Wayne Farm Show is next week, Tuesday through Thursday, the 14th through the 16th at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, open Wednesday night till 8.
Senate Bill 202, which was filed by State Senators Susan Glick and James Buck, would not only elevate the Indiana State Department of Agriculture to an executive agency, but it would also strip the lieutenant governor from leading the department. Glick told Hoosier Ag Today the bill had the support of Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith, but when we spoke with Beckwith, he said that wasn't the case.
It's a little bit of a nonsense bill. I think people have kind of pointed out that it might be a slight towards me because, again, I was the grassroots pick, and sometimes the establishment, quote-unquote, doesn't like what the grassroots do sometimes. And so Is it a little petty? Maybe. I don't want to read into the motives of the senators that brought that bill up.
Beckwith adds that removing the lieutenant governor from overseeing ISDA would not be good for Indiana's farmers.
I think they have the ear of the executive branch, even more so this time around than they will ever have with the Department of Agriculture under the lieutenant governor's office, because not only will you have basically just the full attention of the lieutenant governor anytime farmers need help, you're going to have the ear of the executive branch. If you move that into what 202 is saying, you're basically going to lose agriculture into the minutiae of other agencies. The governor has 30 plus agencies that he's overseeing. He's got secretaries over that. You won't have the ear of the governor as much if you make this move.
So Hoosier Ag Today then told State Senator Glick the bill did not have the support of Lieutenant Governor-elect Beckwith.
He disagrees. Now, yes. Earlier today I was told that he said that he was in favor. So maybe that's changed, but he was not opposed to it earlier. So then we'll just have a discussion. That's what the legislature's for, and we'll be glad to sit down with him anytime. It's not an attack on anybody.
Beckwith says the bill is pretty much dead on arrival.
Yeah, Senator Bray was very, very kind. He talked to me about it. He said, hey, I just want to let you know this is coming down the pike. It's not going anywhere. He gave me his word it's not going anywhere. I don't think it has any traction.
You can hear much more from Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith and State Senator Susan Glick at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it. Operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Connect directly, bid confidently. At Purple Wave Auction, transparency is key. With no reserves and no hidden surprises, you're connected directly to sellers so you can inspect and bid on quality equipment with confidence. Whether you're looking for ag, construction, or fleet equipment, we're here to ensure a clear, hassle-free experience. Register today at purplewave.com and start bidding with peace of mind. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State, it's going to be a day that brings us some snow. Now, nothing's really getting started too quickly here today. I think most of our snow is going to be starting by midday to early afternoon. We are seeing it start a little bit quicker in southwest Indiana, but it's all coming up from the southwest. A cloudy day for the day today for sure. All in, all done. I think the snow gets going, moves through, and ends by sunrise tomorrow morning. And we're looking at a coating to 3 inches over most of the state. Slightly bigger totals maybe downstate. We'll see. Coating to an inch or two is what I like in many areas. And it's decent snow. It's not a big blowing, windy, nasty event. It's going to be a fairly gentle snow that happens all afternoon and all evening. So your commute home, if you're working, is going to be maybe a little bit worse than the commute in. And if we're running truckloads of grain somewhere, probably want to front load that to the first part of the day here rather than later this afternoon, because it is going to be snow that sticks to pretty much everything. Again, done by tomorrow morning sunrise. I think the balance of your Saturday features some clearing, clouds giving way to some sunshine. Don't get used to it. I think clouds are coming back on Sunday. Why? Because we've got a clipper system that wants to move through the Great Lakes area. Now, precipitation is going to be limited to Michigan and the Great Lakes in general. I'm not worried about precipitation at all. I do think cloud cover is going to be something we deal with off and on through Sunday, and definitely a return to cold air. Very cold airflow coming in late Sunday, and it holds through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Well below normal temperatures, maybe even the coldest of the season so far. Great days to be heading to the Fort Wayne Farm Show Tuesday, Wednesday, if you are wanting to be out of the house, but definitely not outside. Late in the week, Friday the 17th, we start to see some significant moderation come in. Snowmelt can happen in a large way Friday afternoon, Saturday, and into early Sunday. But by Saturday, we're also looking at some rain trying to come in to southern areas. That's a new wrinkle. from southern Indiana through Kentucky and into Tennessee, seeing a nice little swath of rain. Could see a quarter to three quarters of an inch all in, all done. Then we go back to cold air for Sunday afternoon and stay chilly into the week of the 20th, where we can see some snow late the 20th into the 21st. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Just be careful a little bit later today. I don't think it's a big snow event, but again, almost everyone's going to be seeing a coating to several inches. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In a partial day of trade Thursday, corn and beans higher, wheat down. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers momentarily. We begin with market analysis. For that, I checked in with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Thursday close, 2 to 3 cents higher on the corn futures and 2 to 3 cents higher soybean futures as well, a little bit lower on Chicago wheat. So, Mike, it was a mixed day. It was mixed all day long, but very quiet. And apparently before the USDA Friday reports, and there are a lot of them, a lot of traders sat out Thursday.
Yes, traders sat out today, and of course, federal government, we had no export sales report today. That's going to come out tomorrow. Market closed early today, obviously, because of President Carter's funeral in Washington, D.C., so we had an early close today. There was not a lot of fresh news in the market today, but there was some news, and I'll go through that briefly. Reuters reported today that the Biden administration is expected to release some short-term guidance on the 45Z biodiesel tax credit prior to the end of the Biden administration, and we know that's coming up really quick. The exact details are unknown, but it's considered a temporary measure until the Trump administration biofuels policy is finalized, and that could have some impact, obviously, on the soybean oil market. There is still a lot of long-term uncertainty about Trump's potential repeal of the Inflation Reduction Act, which would impact the biodiesel tax credit. So still a lot to be developed there. Main focus is on tomorrow's USDA reports. The pre-report comments, I'll just go through that here briefly, what the trade expectations are. In the corn market, we've been range-bound in March corn futures between 4.49 and 4.60 since Christmas. And Reuters average trade estimates for the report tomorrow show that the national average corn yield is expected at 182.7 bushels per acre. That would be down from the 183.1 last official number. And U.S. ending stocks are pegged at 1.675 million bushels. That's down from 1.738 in the last official report. In the soybeans, Reuters estimates the USDA supply demand quarterly grain stocks tomorrow, the yield to be 51.6 bushel an acre national average yield. That's down from 51.7 in our last report, and ending stocks are expected at 457 million bushels. That would be down from the 470 in our last report. And the average estimates for U.S. wheat ending stocks, 799 million bushels. That would be up from the 795 last month. We'll also get some world ending stocks, and they're expected at 257.86 million metric tons. That would be nearly unchanged from last month. So tomorrow we get the WASDE report, the final crop production report for the 2014 harvest. We'll also get the quarterly grain stocks report. And the combination of those two reports on any given year can really add a lot of market volatility. We'll see how that all plays out tomorrow. On top of our weekly export sales numbers. And we do have some estimates out for what those weekly export sales numbers could be. 700 to 1.4 million metric tons, the range of estimates. Last week, we were at 777,000 tons. Last year, we were at 487.6 thousand tons. The soybean estimates are 400,000 to 1.3 million metric tons. The last week, we were at 484,000 metric tons. And last year, we were at 280.4. And the wheat is estimated 150 to 500 tons. Last week, we were 140.6. And last year, 128.1. We know that we've seen some pretty decent export sales numbers in the last several weeks, and going back since Christmas, when we had that pop in the March corn futures market, certainly we've seen some appreciation in value, but we still are range bound in those March futures in the range of $4.49 to $4.60. There is an expectation tomorrow that we could see a little bump in those futures price if the numbers come in correctly, and that remains to be seen, obviously. Other factors that are in play in the market, dry areas in Argentina, in the corn market, we expect to see some relief in the forecasts. Soybeans, Argentina's extended forecast shows a possible break in a dry pattern in the 10 to 15 day time frame, and that is likely to cap any rallies in tomorrow's USDA report numbers. But again, anything's possible in the combination of those two reports, Andy. So we've seen a nice gain, like I say, in the futures prices, really in both primarily in corn, but also in soybeans. And farmers have availed themselves of the opportunity to make some additional sales of harvested corn last fall and soybeans on either DP pricings that they've made or basis contracts that they're pricing, or even we've seen some new crop sales, limited amounts, but there have been some opportunities to make some new crop 2025 corn and soybean sales. And we encourage folks to get some offers in the market and take advantage of what might happen here in the days and weeks to come. Right now, Andy, we look forward to what USDA has to say in the reports tomorrow. Hopefully we'll see some friendly numbers and see some futures price appreciation as we move deeper into the month of January and await the uncertainties of what are to develop in concerns about trade tariffs and what the new administration, the repeat administration with obviously new cabinet members and everything, when President Trump takes over on January 20th.
That is Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. His number is 800-666-0613. On the Hat Thursday market review, a little higher in corn and beans. March corn ends up 456 and three quarters, 2 3/4 higher. May 464 and three quarters, a gain of 2 1/4. July up 2.5 at 468 and a quarter. March and May beans, a gain of 2 1/4. Each contract 996 and three quarters for the March. May ends at 10.08 and a quarter. July 10.20, a gain of 2 cents. 4 cents down on March and May wheat. March going to 5.32 and a quarter. The meats, very strong, very volatile trade there. February live cattle, 198, even a gain of $4.30. And Feb lean hogs, 82.15, up to 67. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.